Shalom, Mishkapah, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries Bible Study, right here on Christian Radio, 1220 AM, and on the World Wide Web at WHKWRadio.com. This is Dan, your co-host, along with my wife and minister of God's Word, Sheila Crawford.
Shalom, shalom, saints of God, and thanks for tuning in. And oh, I have to remind you how much we love God's Word, our Bible, which, by the way, is unique among any of all the other so-called holy writings, because Scripture contains somewhere in the area of like 2,500 prophecies, with approximately 2,000 already being fulfilled, and no errors. So, keep that in mind as we continue this week in the book of Jude, because Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Yeah, and some people say that the Bible's 25% prophecy. We know Jesus is on every page, and it's all about prophecy. Okay, be sure to have your Bible open and be ready to take some notes. And as we have been saying, the book of Jude is a testimonial that God not only will be judging, but has often judged in the past.
Mm. So use the information that we're going to give you as an evangelistic tool for these days. Real judgment truths that you can share with a friend who might still be sitting on the fence.
Let us pray. Lord God, you are the Lord of lords, God above all gods. Jesus, you are begotten, not made. One in being with the Father, soon crowned King of Kings over all the earth. We pray for these recent petitions, as well as the prayers of those listening right now, especially for the salvations of our loved ones. Protect us from the evil one, and bless the teaching tonight, and may it be to your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, this is the third week of a verse-by-verse study in the book of Jude. And we have gotten through the first seven verses, and of course I want to review and add a few points to what we've studied so far. But first, I think...
Any update to that UN meeting scheduled for the 30th?
Right. You mean that global summit scheduled to take place in Paris this month to discuss how to divide Jerusalem?
That's the one.
Well, good news. It's been canceled. For now. Not sure what really happened behind the scenes, but apparently John Kerry told France that due to it being the Memorial Weekend, his schedule is just jammed. So, you probably heard me last week say that the original plan was for the UN to decide how to divide Israel, who would then just have to go along with it or face seclusion. Now, we do know Jerusalem will at some point become an internationally run city where all three religions will share sovereignty, but under one highly accepted leader.
The Pope, no doubt.
I think so. But it has been postponed until summer.
It's all just a matter of timing.
That's right. So, by the way, what God had won in 1967, Six-Day War for the Jews, will just be given back to their enemy. Since we know Scripture must be fulfilled, we know all about this division, and that the covenant of Daniel 9:27 must happen at some point. Might as well be now, because along with that, Jesus calls his bride up to meet him in the air, and that's the good news by far.
Are you his bride? If not, invite him into your heart right now.
Amen again. And next Thursday, not this Thursday, but next Thursday, I will be teaching on the meaning of the covenants, the ancient covenants, and that. And it, that's going to be in Menor at Lakeshore Assembly at 7 p.m.
Okay, you can send your end time questions by mail to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are still very much needed and greatly appreciated, which automatically puts you on our mailing list for any newsy updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning. Okay, before we get into First Aid of Jude, we had a question come in about the Syrian situation. Can you update on that?
Yes. Since Russia's pullout from Syria, the main forces fighting ISIS and the Syrian rebels, and covertly Turkey and Saudi Arabia, you have four there, is Iran's Standing Army, its Special Revolutionary Guard, Hezbollah from Lebanon, and Assad's regular army, who are losing because ISIS and the Syrian rebels received a shipment of advanced weapons system of anti-tank and anti-aircraft missiles provided by Turkey and funded by Saudi Arabia.
Definitely not looking good for Assad.
Right. The Sunnis are definitely on top of it all at this point. Question is, will they destroy Damascus at this time? And according to Isaiah 17, it will happen either at the very beginning of the tribulation or just prior to it. In other words, if we see Damascus in ruins, start really looking up. The latest is ISIS is heading in that direction.
All right, then. How about a recap of what we covered thus far in the book of Jude?
All righty. Jude is the brother of Yeshua and James, and he's writing to the true body of Christ, but was compelled to change course of what he had originally intended to write about, which was the doctrine of salvation. And instead, he was led by the Holy Spirit to plead with all believers to contend, even struggle, for the truth, to stand up boldly, regardless of the consequences. Are you doing that, church? Because Jude especially wrote to those living in the end of days when evil would be at its peak. And he likens it to the days of Noah, those days just before God's judgment on the whole earth.
Yeah, you know, I find it interesting that it's the last letter before the book of Revelation.
I know, right? You know, when deception is rampant, especially within the church today, it really is. As Jude informs us in verse 4, that certain ungodly men have crept in unnoticed, preaching heresy. And, of course, it's only small amounts at a time, so you don't notice it as much. And we read in 2 Peter 2 that Peter confirms this apostasy. And as we have shared often about the higher-ranking Jesuits who were created to aggressively try to reverse the Protestant Reformation that infuriated the Vatican. So they began infiltrating the Protestant seminaries and churches to weave in heresy, especially about the pre-trib rapture. And it's to cause divisions among the Christians.
Which is probably why we have so many denominations these days.
Yeah. And they're still doing it today. They change their identity, hide their background, and they infiltrate. You know, if you do a web search, you can find some prominent evangelists that are either Jesuit-trained from Jesuit colleges, like Donald Trump even, or even secret Masons of the highest degrees. And I'll just throw out some names at you, and you can do your own homework, but names like Kenneth Copeland, James Robison, Rick Warren, Rick Joyner, even Billy Graham is a Mason, Oral Roberts, Robert Schuller, T.D. Jakes, Bat Robertson, Creflo Dollar, Joel Osteen, Benny Hinn. And then the women have different orders, as in the Eastern Star, like Sarah Palin is, or the Dames of Malta, like Queen Elizabeth. And there's not enough time to speak on Paula White. But even Joyce Meyer says we are all gods. And here's a quote from one of her messages. Would you read that, dear?
We're never going to mature and develop a godly character until we learn to live with the all-seeing eye on us all the time.
What? Mm-hmm. First of all, the all-seeing eye is an idiom for the eye of the Illuminati on the back of our dollar bill. But worse than that, it's the word alone that matures us and makes us more like God, not the all-seeing eye. Again, this is all out there, people, for your viewing. And it's time, as Jude says, to contend for our faith, to open our mouths and call these false teachers out that use 90% truth so that you don't notice the 10% satanic lies. And again, I can't say it enough. Do your own homework. Use your own evidence. Not mine, not someone else's. Plenty of actual footage of heresy to view with your own eyes and hear with your own ears.
Remember, Ephesians 5:11 says to expose the darkness wherever it lurks.
And Jude and Peter confirm it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then last week in Jude 5, 6, and 7, God gives three definite examples of previous judgments, like how Israel was judged, and also the fallen angels, as well as Sodom and Gomorrah. Not only were those in Sodom and Gomorrah sexually immoral, going after strange flesh other than women, but there are some scholars who think they even went after demonic beings from the descendants of Nimrod, who became a giant hunter before the Lord, and that's according to Genesis 10:8. But also, the Hebrew word for before, where it says before the Lord, is panim, which can also mean against the Lord. I guess what I'm trying to convey there is it's probably a lot more is going on than the sin of sodomy, as there was in Noah's day.
You know, it does say in Genesis 19:5, I believe, the men wanted Lot's two visitors in a carnal way.
Yes, it does. So, again, 5, 6, and 7 reminds us that God does judge, and he gives examples. The Israelites, the fallen angels, and even whole cities. Oh, and by the way, be sure and pray against all the parades taking place in America for Gay Pride Month in June. Even Israel is again having their yearly Gay Pride Week, the whole week, in Tel Aviv, the first week in June.
Yeah, they're going on all over in June, and I think Tel Aviv is the largest.
It could be. Yep. It is supposed to be the capital.
Yep.
Anyway, sad to say, but our state of Ohio is having one in Columbus on the 17th of June, Cincinnati on the 25th of June, so pray against these days. Cleveland's is postponed till August 13th this year, and that's due to all the construction downtown and the Republican National Conference in July.
Where riots are expected, yes. So maybe the parade will be canceled, huh?
Well, it depends on how long the riots go, but I don't know if I want that either. Anyway, we need to pray. So, let us continue in this letter of Jude about apostates. In tonight's cover probably verses 8 through 12. So, Dan, could you read that as a whole unit?
Sure. Likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the terror and the error of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. These are spots in your love feasts, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots.
Thank you, Darren. Now we'll take one verse at a time. Verse 8 said, likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Now, that word for dignitaries is doxa, number 1391. It means someone of high moral character with high standards, but mostly glorious ones in heaven. Now, the dreamers, that kind of refers back to the subject from last week, which are the heretics and apostates. The word is enuniazomai. Anyway, it's 1797, and this word usually has a negative connotation attached to it. If it was a more positive word, it would have been onar. But here we see these false teachers will use dreams as confirming what they say, often, oh, it's a new thing, and usually not backed by scripture. And I know YouTube has a lot of dreamers, but also let me say it has a lot of good teachers, excellent ones as well. But Satan knows that, and so, again, he decided to infiltrate it with false teachers and apostates. So people, discernment is a must these days. And really, if you don't spend an enormous amount of time studying the Word of God to exercise your mind, as Hebrew 5 talks about, you could very well be deceived. And Jesus said to watch out for that in Matthew 24, because as much as we don't want to admit it, Christians can and are being deceived. Verse 9, yet Michael the archangel, and by the way, that word for yet can also say moreover. Moreover, Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Now, lots of commentaries about this verse, but my thoughts are pretty simple. Satan thought he could bluff the chief prince over Israel, Michael the archangel, by saying that since Moses disobeyed God, that he has the right to his body. Because Satan knew Moses' body would have definitely been worshipped, so God hid it. But interesting that it was near Mount Nebo, in the same area Elijah was taken up in the chariot. But I suspect, and this is just my own thoughts, Moses was probably resurrected pretty quickly as a prototype of Jesus, because Jesus is a type of Moses. So no one could ever find his body. Anyhow, we know he had a new body because he was at the Transfiguration wearing it with Elijah, who obviously had a new body as well. But Satan lost out when Michael said, the Lord rebuke you. You see, Jude was not just wanting to tell us how Michael treated the devil, but for us, to teach us how to rid ourselves from devils and demons. Today we say, in the name of Jesus, you must go. If you even suspect there is evil in your home, demand that it leave and use the name of Jesus. And I don't think you even have to be saved, because many probably unsaved priests and bishops cast out demons by using his name. You've heard about it. The name of Jesus is extremely powerful. Of course, you are less likely to have a big battle if you are saved yourself. And often, that tormented person, once freed, will get saved, because you immediately give them the gospel. Speak the word of God to their soul and do it quickly. Okay, verse 10, we're going back to dreamers and apostates, that says, but these speak evil of whatever they do not know. Whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, we're talking about animals here, in these things they corrupt themselves. And we see a hint here of bestiality and often idle animal worship. You know, they overly like animals and act like them themselves and act on instinct instead of the knowledge of God. And then verse 11 says, again, more judgments. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. You definitely got to read Numbers 16, which can be added to the judgment examples of Jude 5, 6, and 7, that had to be quite a sight, because it started with Korah. and then spread to 250 of the infamous who sat at the gates, and finally 14,700 fell down into the earth when it just opened up like an earthquake and swallowed them whole over rebellion. Now, tell me God hasn't judged before. And that reminds me, of course, 2 Peter 3:4, where he quotes people who say, oh, all things continue as they were from the beginning. I think not. Hebrews 11 says, Cain lacked faith in who God really was. And Genesis 4 says Cain was angry about doing the offering. He didn't want to do it. He really couldn't have known God to be able to lie to him about killing Abel, because otherwise Cain would have known that God could see it. And then in Numbers 22 through 24, there's Balaam, who became an apostate. He was once a true prophet because he could talk to God so easily and ask God first before cursing the Israelites. He made sacrifices using clean animals, showing that he understood proper requirements. But we see Jude includes him in with the other apostates. We also see in Numbers 24:2 that the Spirit of the Lord fell upon Balaam. Now that's a big deal in the Old Testament. And Balaam refers to the Lord as my God in 22:18. But greed overcame him. He resisted King Balak of Moab for quite some time, but then tried to curse Israel for money, but could only bless them. He should have left it alone right there and repented, but finally he went and told King Balak how to make the Israelite men sin by fornicating with the Midianite women and eating food sacrificed to idols. That way, he knew God himself would destroy them. And he did. Once again, he judged the Israelites who sinned, sending plagues that killed 24,000 and then killed all the males who were left that had sinned as well. Then Moses took 12,000 more men into Midian, killed them all, and the male children, only sparing the virgin females, and brought them back to Israel. Again, it sounds like there was a bad seed going on here, and God didn't want it to spread. I encourage you to read the whole account beginning in Numbers 22. But okay, back to these heretical infiltrators. Verse 12 says, these are spots, just ugly stains in your love feast, which are your family and friends gatherings, you know, where you have food and you get together. And it says, while they feast with you without fear, caring only for themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, spiritually and physically, and pulled up by the roots. Of course it could be. There's no foundation. But Jude makes it very clear there is no hope for apostates. And 2 Peter 2:20 confirms it. I hope you'll read that. We don't have time right now to do that. But there's more confirmation again in Hebrews 6:4-6. And next week we're going to begin there and talk a little bit about that, those two verses. It really tells you about whether apostates, can still be saved, or once saved, always saved type of thing. I think you know what I'm talking about. And then we'll pick it up again in Jude verse 13 next week. But let me just tell you, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are just plain foolish. You are being set up for the great deception. Jesus, your Savior, who has paid your debt. Or do you want to pay it yourself? It's your choice. Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart. Won't you accept him? From Numbers 6:22, the Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you shalom. Till next week, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her, they're going to prosper it always. Psalm 122:6. That's it for today. Study your word. We'll be back next week.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.